And I know why, too. I listened to some of those the other day. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6 this morning. For those who are wordsmiths, the title is Raising Our Plane. You could also call it Impractical Pragmatism, or I'm Not Quite as Ordinary as I Used to Be. I had a couple different titles I was throwing around, and I ended up with Raising Our Plane. And the section here in 2 Corinthians, when you turn there, there's some other references you may want to jot down so you can look through them later this afternoon or this week and understand how they also fit in. It all just falls into place real well, this message. And I invite you to do that as we go forward. We begin reading at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We are talking about a spiritual warfare this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now. And let your will be done. Have your way with us. Truly help us to learn to be the clay in your hands and to stay there until your task with us is complete. Heavenly Father, prepare us now for what you would have us for. Open our hearts and our minds and our understanding to what you would teach us, that we would be able to receive it and retain it. Heavenly Father, may your message come across now. And to that end, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. I have a simple question. Anybody can answer it, but who controls what you think about? Yes, you do. And who controls how you feel? Yeah, I don't control how you feel. If that's the case for about every time since July 1st previous, you're in trouble if I controlled it, because I didn't know you. For sure. Now, let me ask you this. Who chooses what you think about? Don't you? Yeah, sure you do. Then how come is it that we so often use the phrases that say just the opposite? No, I'm talking about you might say to someone, you just controlled my feelings. You're making me think that way. Now, we don't say it like that. You say, you made me mad. You just made me make that turn. You just said something, now I'm stuck. You confused me. That's what we say instead. We give people permission. I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt that said, nobody can make you mad without your permission. So in other words, if someone is making you mad, you let them in and you're letting them run upstairs inside your mind and doing all that stuff with your feelings. Guess what? You can send them back out too. Yeah, it's true. You can. But you know, we sometimes do that so we don't have to take responsibility for how we are or what we're thinking about, what we're feeling, or what we want to do. I like it because they had understanding because when you begin to know this, you can be intentional about what you think about. And you can be intentional about how you feel by your thinking. because your thoughts control your feelings. Now, let me add this part of the equation to it so that you'll understand a little further, and then we'll get to the mind of Christ and the spiritual warfare we're talking about. If you are thinking about what you want to think about before you think about it, you're practicing what's called esoteric thinking. That simply means I'm thinking about what I'm thinking about. Sometimes we say it like this: my mind's eye is watching what I do, and my mind's eye is watching what I think. In other words, you're conscious of what you're doing. Does that make sense? In other words, if you say, I'm going to go to the store, you realize you're thinking about going to the store because you want to think about that. That's called being aware of what you're thinking about. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't ever think about what we're thinking about. We just think about it. And in the same way, we feel how we feel without ever thinking about that because we haven't thought about what we thought about to get us to feel the way we feel. And this scripture passage begins to unpack some of those things that get us stuck in the faith. Because we have a possibility in Jesus Christ to be elevated above a plain old ordinary life. But God has to give us some gifts and tools to help us do that, and He does that when Jesus Christ is master of your life. We're going to talk about some of those tools this morning and this month. In this passage, and especially throughout the New Testament, it talks about a spiritual warfare that we're in. And it talks about, and if you want to mark this for later, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and before that a few verses, and after that a few verses, it talks about there are things that are spiritually discerned that your mind cannot figure out. But those things are spiritually discerned. Now you might say, well, you know, I can figure out pretty much anything I want to in my mind. Maybe so, but not spiritual matters. Paul says, the natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to you. Neither can you know them because they are spiritually discerned. And the only way you can begin to know the Spirit of God and the heart of God is that the Holy Spirit communicates with you. And the only way the Holy Spirit can communicate with you is when you begin to allow it. And you can only allow it when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Other folks can say, well, I'm a very spiritual person, but you cannot communicate with the heart of God without that Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, it talks about the Holy Spirit speaks with groans and utterings and searches the deep things of God and us and communicates in words we don't even know how to speak. But if it's not there in us, it can't do it. And with Jesus Christ, He ushers in the Holy Spirit as a part of that relationship. We talk about in this passage, especially the first section, 2 Corinthians 10, it says we walk in the flesh, don't war after the flesh. He says, for our weapons of warfare are not carnal. The word carnal simply means flesh or of the body. That means what you came into this world with isn't going to be what you need to fight the battle. It's not the equipment. God's going to have to add something to that. I'm going to share with you in a moment what that is. But He says these things are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are things that would disagree or come against who God is, what God stands for in His purpose and will for your life. I have a phrase for you that might sum that up real easy. And these are things that He talks about, the imaginations and thoughts that, shall we say, cast itself or go against who God is, the knowledge of God. And these things all come from, so far as I've found, three areas. And they say this, and these are the lies: God can't, God won't, God isn't. Any one of those three things is most of the lies that you get. God can't, God won't, and God isn't. And you can throw in there, well, does God love me? He can and He does. Can God do anything? God can. But we get into those mindsets sometimes, well, this is too impossible for God. That's a lie. See, these are check marks for us. And they come into place that God can, God will, and He exists. These three things are within us when Christ Jesus becomes real. All of a sudden we realize God is a lot bigger than we thought God was, can do a lot more, and really does exist and love us, just like we were told. And that's a good feeling to know that. As a matter of fact, if you think on these things, God will fill you with very positive emotion. Whatever's good, profitable, cheerful, whatever's thrifty, whatever's reverent. If you think on these things, God will bless you with strong emotional states as well. It's good psychology, but it's more than that. It's a lot more than that, and I want to show you what I'm talking about. First of all, the knowledge of God is not talking about who He is. It's what He is. It's an experiential type of knowledge. These things which are not spiritually discerned, people who don't understand who God really is, don't understand what God is. They talk about who God is. God is this, God is that, God loves everybody, or whatever they want to say. But I'm trying to share with you that when we come to a knowledge of God, we know what He is. We know that He is the Creator of our lives, that He's the lover of our soul, that He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our end and the length of our days. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the righteous and the true, the one who was slain. All of a sudden we know these things because we begin to experience each part of that in our life. God begins to make those realities real for us, and it's called experiential knowledge. Our mind cannot think experientially. It can only think logically. It can only deal with the information it has. It cannot create the experience. The reason I say that is because when we begin to warfare in this world, we're not fighting with what we think about this world. We're fighting something that's trying to keep us from becoming what God has created us to be. You see, God has for each one of us a divine place and purpose. And sometimes in the faith we just live plain old ordinary life. And that's okay if that's what God's called you to, but there's something special that only you can do, that God has created you for. It's a purpose, and when that happens and you understand that, you get kind of excited. It feels really, I say it feels really good. It's better than really good. It's like, why didn't anybody tell me I could do this type of feeling? It's like you're on top of the world and then some. It's like, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper because God said I can do this. And then you get the knowledge of God that says, I can, I will, and I am, like Jesus had. Something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God will also say, I can't, I won't, and I'm not. Those are all lies when it comes to God's purpose for you. You can, and you will, and you are who God said you are. And that's good news. I don't know about you, but if you start understanding who you are in Jesus Christ and what He's created you to be, you can say, hey, you know, this is who I am. God said it. And you can say what you want. But I know this because God told me. That's the knowledge of God that those imaginations and the lies will try to stop us from embracing. But when we start walking in that understanding, our lives change in a major way. So, what kind of weapons that are not carnal do we have? Now, I'm going to tell you types. Okay, in our tools and equipment section today, we're looking at types that come with the gift that God has given us. And the gift and the life that God has given us is when we belong to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now part and parcel of us. In John 14, it says, God and the Son come and dwell in us. They dwell there. You know, where the Father is, there the Son is. And where the Son is, the Spirit is with Him too. It's not like you can say, well, you get two-thirds of the Trinity. You get the whole deal there. It all comes in there. And God gives you the Holy Spirit. Now, again, some of us kind of let the Spirit lay low, if you will. I got Jesus, I love God. That Holy Spirit thing scares me, I don't know anything about it. Today I'm going to share with you a couple of things that the Holy Spirit does. One of the things it does is it convinces you that you belong to God. That's the first witness that you have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says that the Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit that God is my daddy now. That's the first witness of the Holy Spirit. That's its job, to tell you, you belong to God. And when you get that witness, I belong to God. He's my daddy, He's my father, He's my love of my life. He's my all in all, my king, my master, my Lord, my friend. When that comes, that's a witness of the Holy Spirit to your spirit that you are owned by a wonderful God. And that's a wonderful place to be. Well, in that moment, and when that happens, that's the first gift. But something else happens. And if we don't know about it, we can't tap into it. And the gift, one of the gifts is in Galatians, I believe, it talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, patience, endurance, forbearing. All these things, nine fruit of the Holy Spirit are yours. And you say, that's not true. It can't be true because I'm not a patient person. I'm not very meek. Or I'm not very long-suffering. That can't be true. It is true. Your flesh is telling you otherwise. To tap into the Holy Spirit and begin to say, God, reveal to me how those fruit are evident. Show me greater fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. I didn't say pray for patience. I said ask God to show you the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's a big difference. You can pray for patience, but you already have it. The Holy Spirit brought it. It's its fruit. We just don't know how to tap into it. So we have to ask God to show us the fruit that's in us already. And when you begin to pray that prayer, you begin to see yourself more loving and more gentle and more patient. Not because you're going through a trial, but because all of a sudden you see it. You were before looking at your past behavior, your past mindset. But now the Holy Spirit is saying, I've lifted you up, and this truly is who you are. I am what God says I am. Sounds almost too good to be true, but then there are more that the Holy Spirit brings. If you ever read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are a lot of different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of those we don't use and operate in very much in the United Methodist Church, but there are some that we do operate in, but we don't know that we do. Two of those I want to point out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that in verse 8, it is given by the Spirit to one the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And you say, well, wisdom and knowledge, that's the same thing. It is if you think about it. But if you ask God for discernment and you look at it, knowledge is something about the character or nature of God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ that you could not know unless God showed it to you. Like one day you might wake up and you see a beautiful sunset and you say, wow, God is the God of the beauty of the sun. And I see His beauty in the sunrise now. That would be a word of knowledge about God, that His beauty is seen in the sunshine or a setting of the sun. Wherever God has shown you something about His nature and character is a word of knowledge. That is given by the Holy Spirit. You cannot think that into being. The second thing is the word of wisdom, and that's something that you have no idea about somebody, some event, or some situation that God has told you is true and you're supposed to tell somebody. Generally, when you do it, you feel really stupid because you don't know it's true. I'll tell you, one time I was going to do a funeral several years ago, and this lady was very old. So all her friends had died, and her children and her family lived miles and miles away. So there was no visitation. The day of the funeral was a closed casket, and there was no viewing. So all the friends and family came just for the funeral, and I had to preach it. I got no phone number of anybody in the family, and when I finally got to the funeral, about a half an hour early, there was nobody there but me. When they finally showed up 10 minutes early, I said, I would have considered 10 minutes early late, but 10 minutes early, I said, tell me about it. I said, well, just whatever the Lord told you, say that, because we know that it doesn't matter what you say, you didn't know her. Well, they didn't know this, but over the day or so before that, I'd been praying about her person and who God said she was. And my simple prayer was, God, give me the gift of discernment, which begins to be a word of wisdom about somebody. And I said, God, I know nothing of this woman, but you know her like you know her. Let me show the family how you see her. And he said, okay. She's a garden and she's a flower. And I said, that's kind of sketchy, God. And he said, she's a garden and she's a flower. That's all I got. I didn't know what I was going to do with that, but I got up there and I started talking. And I said, I didn't know this lady, but God did. And I asked him who she was, and he said she was a gardener. She had a garden. And as a matter of fact, a flower. And he showed me a picture of a rose beautifuler than any other rose in the garden. And he said he needed a rose up in heaven with her. And so now he has a rose in heaven with her. And he looked at me like I shot them. And I said, oh, I really screwed up. I tanked. I made an error. God, I'm never, ever, ever going to try that again where I think you said something. And after the service, people looked at me and said, you talked like you knew her all your life and you never even knew her. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And they said, she was avid horticulturist, love gardening. That was her life from a small girl to the day she died. And she always dreamed of being a flower. And in that moment I went, yay, God. That is a word of wisdom. I couldn't know that. That's when God's heart becomes clear to you about somebody else. And when it happens, people are looking at you like you're reading their face. Like you're reading their book, and you have no idea. And how do you know when God's doing that? Because it's something you had no idea about, you weren't thinking about it, but all of a sudden it's there. That's discernment of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift you have, and its purpose is to heal. It's to bring someone to a place in their life where they can grow and move beyond where they're stuck. And God will do that for you. That's a gift that you have from time. It's not always in operation, but it is available. There are more gifts in that chapter that he talks about, including evangelism. But there is one other thing he says in that chapter that's absolutely wonderful. And I'll tell you this. He talks about all these gifts. He says, covet earnestly, in the very last verse of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'm going to show you a better way than even those gifts. And he talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, faith, hope, and love. And he talks about the quality of love. He said all these things are great, but love is the ultimate thing that helps you in your relationship with God. It is not something you can think into. You can't think you love somebody. You love somebody or you do not. You can't, well, I'm thinking I'm going to love you. It just doesn't work that way, does it? And Paul says, when you love, all of a sudden, you become open to the work of God in your life based on love. How many times have we loved just to love? How many times have we loved to get something in return? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's reciprocal. But love does this. It says, I'm going to scratch your back and I'm going to rub your neck because you're hurting. Because your back itches. Because I want to, because I love you. You can't justify that. You just do it. When the Holy Spirit invades your personality, all of a sudden you're starting to do stuff just because you want to. Because it feels like the thing to do. And whenever someone says, why are you doing that? I say, well, it just, you needed it. Or the Lord put it on my heart to do that. I can't tell you why, because it doesn't make sense. My mind can't make sense of it, but inside me I know. Those are the things that say God can, God will, and He is, and I'm a part of that. And everything God shows me to do or helps me do, I will do. Anything that says opposite of that is fighting against what God's trying to do. In 2 Timothy, it talks about people have a religion without Jesus. And you know, folks can do that. We can be religious without being spiritual. And there are 7 different criteria, comparisons, if you will, that I want to share with you of the distinction between being in a relationship with Christ and simply being religious. In being religious, it's what you think you ought to do. It's your idea about things. In other words, it's man-made. It's not perfect. You use creeds, understandings, dockets, how-to books. But in spirituality, you let God determine the scope of where you go and what you do. Second thing, if you're in a religious state of mind, you've joined the right church, you're in the right social club, you're hanging out with the right people, you're doing the right charities. In spiritual, with Jesus Christ, when you're fighting that warfare, you're going because that's where God's led you. You're doing it because it's right. Not because it looks good. Third thing is, if you're religion, you're in a denomination. We don't think like them. We don't talk like them. We don't pray like them. We don't pray to the same people they pray to. We certainly don't do that. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you look at those folks and say, it's all Jesus. We got the same Jesus. I don't care how they pray. I don't care who they pray to. If they love Jesus, they're one with me. And I'm going to love them. I don't care if they're pink and polka dotted. I don't care if they talk in Spanish, let alone any other language. If they love Jesus, I love them. They're one with me. I'm a part of that. And another part of me will say, but they're different. They think different. It's the same Jesus. It focuses on who we are in Christ, not how we're different. But that we all belong in the same family. Come on now, you all know some folks in your family that don't actually act like the rest of the family. We still love them, don't we? Yeah, that's old so-and-so, and here they are, but and you kind of hate them coming, but you love them anyway. Some of those folks, and the way we see it in other denominations, you might think that way. Yeah, so they got, man, them folks, but they love Jesus. And that church does a good work. And they got good mission. Or they help a lot of people. So I can support that. Of course you can, because it's the same Jesus. Just different ways to understand Him. And the other one is, when you're becoming religious, you're working on, do I look right? Do I smell right? Am I acting right? Do people notice that I'm giving to the right charity? When you belong to Jesus, it's internal. I'm doing this out of my heart. I'm doing this because God has put it in me to do it. Not because it looks good for someone else to see my behavior. But I'm doing it because I know no other way to be. God has changed me that much. And that's the difference. Religion is about, when you don't have Jesus in it, you have information, creeds, doctrine. But in spirituality, it isn't what you know. It's how you've been changed. I sure would hate to see you come in the presence of Jesus Christ and not change. Because we aren't perfect. In religion, you focus on the church. The church needs to do this. We got to do this for the church. When you belong to Jesus, we say it different. Our language changes. This person needs this. And the church can help. It's not about the church. It's about the people in the church. Without people, there is no church. In religion, I do it 11 o'clock Sunday, 6 o'clock Friday, 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. However your schedule is, you have a time to be religious. I did my religious thing. I prayed for over my supper. You know, we have a time. But spiritual, when you relate to Jesus Christ, it's permanent. Wherever you go, God is. Scripture says He does not dwell in buildings made with human hands. He dwells in us. John 14, the Father and the Son dwell within us, in our heart. He came to live with you. So wherever you go, you can have a blessing, believe it or not, driving in traffic. God's presence can come real to you there. And all of a sudden, it's no longer about your environment making you frustrated with road rage. It's, hey, Jesus is with me, and I got some more time to pray and talk to Him. It's how you look at it, but you can't change how you look at it until internally you want to look at just one thing. And that every moment of your life, you'd see Jesus Christ. Maybe that's why folks think it's difficult, because it's work if you have to think about Jesus all the time. But if He's there and real, you just acknowledge His presence. You don't have to think it into being. It's just there. And you know it. And there's a confidence in that. And that confidence casts down anything that will say God isn't, God can't, or God won't. When you begin to live like that and ask for that discernment, these things will happen in your life. We're about to partake in communion, and I want to share with you how I think this all relates to it. We say yes to God's principles, to the way He says we ought to live. Yes, we say that. But we say a huge yes to Jesus, which puts those principles in place without having to consider whether or not we need to do them. So we say yes to Jesus being our reality, and that's not something you have to think about. You just know it. Folks, that is spiritually discerned. You can't know Jesus is there by thinking it. And when you know He's there, everything else pales. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You now, and we ask Your Holy Spirit upon us. Give us discernment, direction, understanding. Help us to see the things in our world and around us the way You see them. to see ourselves, our lives, and our purpose the way you dictate it to be. And Heavenly Father, as we continue this service, may you also pour out your Spirit upon us gathered here, and upon these gifts of the fruit of the grape and the bread, that they would be the body and blood of Jesus Christ to us, that we would be the body and blood of Jesus Christ to the world. Heavenly Father, this morning we say yes to you and everything else that comes with that.